And so we're going to come to the sermon bit of our service. So let's pray together as we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word. May we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Little donkey, little donkey on a dusty road, gotta keep on plodding onward, Bethlehem's in sight. No, you aren't caught in a time warp. It isn't Christmas, it is Easter time. But I would like us to think a little bit this morning about donkeys. Just before last Christmas, I was lent a book by Joan Ackerley that she was given for Christmas in 1945 by her Auntie May. It's called Donkey's Glory. Hoping you can see it there. It's absolutely brilliant. It tells the story of Jesus from the perspective of a family of donkeys. The first of whom was the donkey which carried Mary all the way from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And the story continues through that donkey's daughter and then onto her grandson, who carried Jesus into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday 30-odd years later. And it's a really clever way of framing the story of Jesus for youngsters. And while there's no biblical evidence that those two donkeys were actually related, and actually, as Liz pointed out to me when I went through the sermon with her yesterday, there's actually no mention of donkeys in any of the Gospels in the birth narratives either, I'm not surprised that one ends up making an appearance in most of the nativity plays across the land, and not just because you've got to find a path for everybody, but actually the way in which donkeys figure in the Bible and in the king's appearances in the Bible. So to find out a little bit more about that this morning, we're going, if you like, follow in the donkey's footsteps through scripture. And as we do, we're going to see what that might have to say to us about who God is and about how we live today. Now, as we go through, there's on the screen, there's going to be some different images, artwork through the ages, depicting Palm Sunday. And maybe in concert, maybe you're a very visual person. As you look at these different images, maybe there'll be something that jumps out for you, that speaks to you as we remember Palm Sunday this morning. So, let's start following the donkey. Let's start in our reading from Matthew's eyewitness account of the good news of Jesus' life and ministry that Tommy read for us. Jesus and his friends and followers, they're on the way to Jerusalem. And Jesus knows what's going to happen to him when he gets to Jerusalem. He's warned the others about it, but they've not really understood. So he sends a couple of disciples off to go and fetch this donkey and this foal. And whether he'd arranged this in advance or whether he just had an intuition, if he'd known that the owners of the donkeys would be willing to release them to him, the Lord, when his disciples said that, we're not told that, we don't know. It's one of those bits of scripture people like to speculate about, but we just don't know. Whatever it was, however it was organised, the disciples' mission is successful, and they return with the donkeys. And Matthew, in his writing, links this to this Old Testament prophecy, which comes from the book of the prophet Zechariah, the last but one book in the Old Testament portion of the Bible. And it says this in Zechariah: "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, you might have noticed that Matthew's quotation isn't particularly careful. He's missed out some bits from the verse of Zechariah. But actually, Matthew was probably writing his gospel for a Jewish audience, and they would have known the spirit of Zechariah. They would have filled in the missing bits all for themselves. And they also would have known the context that Zechariah was originally speaking into. But we don't know that off the top of our heads, or you might, but I didn't. I had to look it up. And going back to the beginning of Zechariah, to chapter 1 in the book of Zechariah, we discover that he was a prophet, that he was a messenger from God to God's people, and that he was ministering during the reign of King Darius. So who was King Darius? Well, we go to the book of Daniel, Daniel and the lion's den, and all those kind of things. We find out that Darius was a Mede who was king in Babylon. So we can work out from this that Zechariah was originally speaking to the people of Judah during the time of the exile to Babylon, whilst Jerusalem was in ruins and the temple had been destroyed. It was a really dark time for God's people. Zechariah speaks of the hope of restoration, of the one who's going to bring that restoration. And so he commands Jerusalem, Zion, to praise and to rejoice. They were definitely doing that on Palm Sunday. And Zechariah talks of a king coming, one who brings righteousness and salvation in gentleness, riding on a donkey. And as we read on in Zechariah, we discover that that king is one who's going to bring peace to the nations and whose reign is going to extend from sea to sea. And whilst we know that the people of God did return to Jerusalem, and they did rebuild it, they did rebuild the temple, they never really had a king that has fulfilled this prophecy. They're still waiting for the one who will bring salvation, final rescue and righteousness, and one who's going to bring peace in an unending kingdom. I wonder if you hear the Christmas echo here. The one from Isaiah's prophecy of the coming of the Prince of Peace. A little later in Matthew's story, we hear the crowd shouting, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And that's an extract from Psalm 118, which Liz read for us. And here again, we find these ideas of righteousness and salvation. They're really important ideas, concepts that go together in the biblical teaching about the king and the kingdom. You see, the king is the one who embodies and brings a right relationship with God, a right way of living, and a rescue from the consequences of being alienated from God by living wrongly by our sin. And the kingdom is the reality in which we live, in which we have that right relationship, in which we live good and holy lives. Reality in which we have been rescued. But we've got a little bit off the donkey's tracks, so let's follow them a bit further back into scripture. So I would like to take us to 2 Samuel 16 to 19, and again a little bit of background first. King David is firmly established in his kingdom. The days of the shepherd boy fighting Goliath with a sling and 5 stones are long behind him. The back and forth with Saul is over. Saul is dead. And David is the undisputed king. And he's built a palace. He's got a collection of wives and sons. He's settled down. But one of his sons, Absalom, stages a palace coup. And David has to flee from Jerusalem with some of his courtiers. And it's in this flight that we meet the donkeys again. A man called Ziba, who is the servant of Saul's son Mephibosheth, comes to him with a string of donkeys and says this: "The donkeys are for the king's household to ride." And David accepts the gift, goes off into exile with him in his court riding the donkeys. There's some battles, and Absalom is killed, and David returns to Jerusalem. As he approaches the city, he meets Mephibosheth. And he asked him, Mephibosheth, why didn't you come with the rest of the court into exile? And Mephibosheth says, my lord the king, since I, your servant, am lame, I said, I will have my donkey saddled and I will ride on it so I can go with the king. But my servant Ziba betrayed me. Now, if you want to find out all about the dispute between Ziba and Mephibosheth, how all that works out, we're not doing that this morning. You're going to have to go and read 2 Samuel chapter 16 to 19 yourselves. But the reason I've brought this story up, our purpose is this morning, what's important to know is that donkeys are a perfectly appropriate thing for a king and his retinue to ride, and especially a king in the line of David who is returning to Jerusalem to reclaim his throne. But the donkey has gone on. We have a little further to follow it, all the way back to the first book of the Bible, back to Genesis. And again, a bit of background. You may know the story of Joseph and his technicolor dream coat. Joseph is the spoiled son of Jacob. His brothers take against him and sold him into slavery in Egypt. And in the story, God gives him this gift of interpreting dreams, a gift which comes to the attention of the king of Egypt, of Pharaoh. And the king raises him up to be second in the kingdom, looking after all the grain stores stored up for the time of famine. And in that time of famine, his brothers come from Canaan to Egypt, looking for grain, looking for food. And after a big emotional reunion, the family are reunited and Joseph moves them all to Egypt. And now it's come time for Jacob, Joseph's father, to die. And he gathers his sons around to bless them, and he blesses them each in turn. And when he comes to Judah, his son, we read this in Genesis chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. You are a lion's cub, Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. He will tether his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch. He will wash his garments in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes will be darker than wine, his teeth whiter than milk. Do you hear the echoes of Christmas again? Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, out of you will come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. You see, both David and therefore Jesus were of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is the ultimate fulfilling of this blessing that Jacob pronounced over his son Judah, this blessing that the scepter will not depart from his descendants. And then what do we find here? This descendant, what's he doing? He's tethering his donkey to a vine. A poetic foreshadowing, perhaps, of Jesus tying up the donkey at the end of this day and going on to shed his blood, which we remember in the wine of the communion table. So, we have followed this donkey back from Palm Sunday to possibly the dusty road into Bethlehem, but definitely to the prophecies of Zechariah, to the return of David to his throne, and on to journey's end in the first book of the Bible, as Jacob prophesies over Judah. And as we follow this donkey's tracks, we've seen that this is the way that God's King, bringing salvation, righteousness, peace, and hope in humility and gentleness, was always intended to enter Jerusalem as he brought in his kingdom. And yet, despite this, the crowd still do not recognize him for who he is. They shout praises and even quote the psalm that gives them the clues. But when they're asked who he is, they still say, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." They do not see what Peter saw when he was asked the same question, "Who do you say I am?" And he replied, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus was going to have to go through the hell of Good Friday and the glory of Easter Sunday before that understanding of who he is would really sink in for everybody. So, what about us? As we read about the purposes of God worked out over hundreds of years to bring us the opportunity to know salvation and the right way of living, in these times of turmoil, confusion, difficulty, will we trust the one who promises to work all things for the good of those who love him, as we witness the promises kept through the centuries recorded in Scripture? Will we worship and follow the king who rode a donkey, even when the path leads to Calvary, because we trust that when we do, that resurrection is our final destination?